couple years ago, I came across this story. I don't know how true it is. It may be a true story. It may not be, and it doesn't matter. The what comes out at the end has just always stuck with me. Maybe it's because I've seen it in my life, but I want to read this story, and you may have heard it, but I'm going to read it again. It's called Prop Me Up on My Leaning Side. A pastor of a small church would occasionally call on one gentleman to pray, and every time this one particular guy would pray, he would pray, "Oh God, thank you for this word today. Bless these people today." And then he would end with the strangest statement, "And oh God, oh Lord, prop us up on our leaning side." Every time the preacher would call on him, he would say, "Oh Lord, prop us up on our leaning side." Finally, the pastor pulled him aside and he said, "I love the way you pray, but I don't understand your closing phrase. What are you talking about? Prop us up on our leaning side." And he responded, "Well, Pastor, I'm a farmer. I live out in the farm, and you know I live in the country, and I got an old barn. And it's been there a long time. And it's been through a lot of weather and a lot of storms and a lot of bugs have ate at it." He said, "And I got to looking at it one day when I was riding on my tractor and I noticed that it was leaning to one side." He said, "So I thought to myself, oh my goodness, the barn is leaning and it's a matter of time before the whole thing falls over." And he continued and said, "So you know what I did? I went and I got some old pine beams and I propped it up on its leaning side." He said, "It still leans, and it probably always will, but I propped it up on its leaning side, and it's not going to fall down because I propped it up on its leaning side." And I got to thinking about it, and when I was on the tractor, Pastor, I was riding in the field, and I thought about the kind of year I've had, and some of the storms I've been through, and some of the people that were bugging me, and eating away at my joy and eating away at my spirit. And I got to thinking, you know, I'm still here. I'm still standing after all the stuff that I've been through. The storms, the howling winds, they couldn't topple me. I'm still standing by the grace of God." He concluded, "From time to time, I find myself leaning towards my old desires, leaning towards anger, leaning towards becoming bitter at a people who are bugging me, or leaning towards going back to my old habits and the old life I used to have. But I feel myself start leaning towards that tendency. I just remember that old barn and I pray out loud on my tractor, 'Lord, I thank you that you're going to prop me up on my leaning side.'" We've been through a lot this year. Just in the short time that I've been here, we've lost some members. I know there's things going on in all of our lives that are looking to distract us from God, that are looking to take our joy, that are looking to make us not be the child of God that I should be. With God's help, with Him propping me up on my leaning side, He's kept me from falling many times. Amen. There's been times that I've pushed through and broke those beams and fell. But I thank God He's brought back bigger beams. And I've looked towards Him and tried to be a better Christian, a better servant to Him. When I start to lean, I feel that pressure on the side that's holding me up. Proverbs 3:5-6, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not into thine own understanding. In all ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." The lean that we have, if we want to go and look at this, does not come from God. The lean that we have is us, following our own desires, following our own will, doing things that we know as Christians aren't right. We out and out lie. We out and out sin willfully in this world today. I'm not talking about lost folks. I'm talking about saved individuals. I'm talking about me. We'll still, with the free will that God gave us, purposely sin. And as much as I may hate it, as I get closer to God and I hate what I do, I hate the sin that I have, it's going to be there until I die. I'm going to have a leaning side until the time that I would lay this life down. I've got a sinful nature that I'm always going to have to fight. And it's not just me. It goes back to Paul. I love that. Paul, he says, the things that I want to do, I don't do. Or is paraphrasing. And the things I don't want to do, that's what I do do. And that's the same with me. But we need to be following God's lead. And He'll never lead us into sin. If you have something that you look at and you think that at the end of it, no matter what it would be, it's going to be a sinful nature, I'm going to tell you, God is not a part of that. If you take a job that's going to make you miss every Sunday, God's not a part of that job. It may be a job that doubles your pay. It may give you all these wonderful benefits. But if it pulls you away from God, it's not going to be what you want. If it's a job that puts you in, situations that you are just surrounded by sin, and if you are surrounded by sin all the time, most people are sooner or later going to give in to that sin. God is not going to put you in bad situations and not be able to pull you through it. We're going to see as we think about it more and more, these bad situations that we are going to get into. So many times we blame it on the devil, and many times it is him or his one of his spirits that are with him. But many times it's just us. Because we can see that God is omnipresent. God is omniscient. He's everywhere. He's with me right now. He's with you right now. And if we was to go someplace else or look at people somewhere else in the world, He's with them right there. He is that great and big of a God that He's with each and every person, every place, anywhere, anytime. The devil doesn't have that power. In Job, and I'll get to my reading later. I'm just going to give you a couple verses here and there as I go. Job 1, 6 and 7. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came along with them. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? When Satan answered the Lord and said, going to and fro in the earth and walking up and down in it. He's not everywhere. He's not God. He found that out pretty quick, I think, in heaven that day when he got cast out. When he thought that he could go against God and be bigger and greater than God, God showed him otherwise. Not to say that he is not pretty powerful here in this world. Let me take that back. He's as powerful as we let him be. He has a good grasp on what our sins are. He has a grasp on what is most enticing to me to pull me into sin. He knows how to manipulate me. He's good at it. But it becomes free will that I have as do I want to follow God or do I want to follow Satan? And it's that simple. We can make it think like, well, I'm just doing this little bit that's not quite right. I'm going to tell you, if you're not on God's side, you're not on God's side, you're on Satan's side. And that's our two choices. There's not a middle ground to say, well, I'm not that bad. That's not a choice. The old cartoons, and I go back to this a lot, you'll probably hear me say it again. The old cartoons you see, we have an angel on one shoulder and the devil on the other shoulder. That's pretty accurate. I'm going to tell you, as funny as it kind of is, seeing them in cartoons or other little things, there's not far from the truth. You've got one all the time here, God telling you what you should be doing, and He will follow you and take you there. And you've got the devil on this side. telling you exactly what not to do. I'm going to tell you, there is a constant battle going on for us. We are that important to this world that the devil wants us. I'm going to tell you what God wants us. And then a constant battle. A constantly battling over where we're going to be going or what we need to be doing. Because if the God has got a hold of us and we are following God and doing work for Him, the devil hates it. The devil is hate. He hates God. He hates God for not being able to defeat God. He hates seeing his God's children prosper. He hates seeing God's children working for God, seeing them lift God up. He hates that. He hates God. So he wants to do all he can to tear God apart, to try still to show that he's greater than God. We're the ones stuck in the middle. First Peter 5 and 8. Be sober. Be vigilant. Your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. I'm going to tell you right now, if you don't have devil working in your heart today, if you don't have the devil right there with you at every turn of the way, you're probably either totally given to God 100%, not worried about it, or dead, or you're given to the devil that he don't have to worry about you. For us that are going to strive to work for God, the devil's going to be in it along the way to try to derail our thoughts, our actions, anything that we might do for God to lift him up, that may take another person in and show them who God is. If he can get in my life to where I'm not working for him, that I'm not working for God, to where I'm not doing anything beneficial to God, he's got me where he wants me. Guess what? He's probably going to leave me alone then. If you don't have the devil working your life, you may be so far away that you're not doing anything for God, and he don't have to mess with you. There's so much of this world that is going around, and they are so evil and so wicked, and the devil probably isn't even messing with them. You're like, how do these people have it so well? How do they have it in just the money and the fame and the fortune, and it seems so easy of a life for them? I'm going to tell you, they're not doing anything for God. So why would the devil mess with them? Then he can leave them alone. Hey, you're not going to do anything. I don't have to worry about you doing anything for God, so have a good time. If you're going to take a step towards working for God, the devil's going to be there. I'm actually going to read out of Ephesians. I guess I'll start reading now and moving forward. But Ephesians 4. I'm going to start in the 17th verse. So if there is going to be this great battle over me, that is going to be where I have to figure out and fight my way through the devil with God's help. The only way I'm going to make it is with God's help. My Bible kind of titles this, Put It On the New Man. When I was saved, I changed. I've seen it happen. I've seen people's attitudes change. I've seen them become different people. It's like, man, I used to know them, and they got saved, and it's like, who are you? You see the love that comes out of them, and the love that God puts in it, it will change a person. In the 17th verse of the 4th chapter of Ephesians, this I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as the Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over, make sure I get this right, to lasciviousness, which is basically a unbridled lust. It is a wantonness. It is a lewd behavior, indecent. It is designed to excite a sexual desire. That's this big word that I had to really look up and make sure I say it right. Lasciviousness, it's bad. you can put bad in capital word letters for that one. To work all uncleanliness with greediness. But I have yet not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation of the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and be put on the new man, after which God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speaking every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and not sin. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, that thing which is good, and he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that is, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye have sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil spirit, evil speaking, be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. We are regenerated as a new man by God. We owe it all to him. But yet our sinful nature is constantly pulling us in the other direction. And I looked at it and I got to this and I read through this. And I'm going to tell you the 27th verse stuck out to me huge. The 27th verse is very short. Neither give place to the devil. Don't even give him a place in your heart. Don't give the devil a place in your life. We have a choice to push the devil away. It's hard. It takes God's help many times. But if we don't give him a place in our hearts, we don't give him a place in our life, our troubles are going to be a lot easier. Because what do we put in place if we don't have the devil there? God. A lot of times we'll say, well, I'm going to fill my life with, and the word will tell you, it's about you. It's about me. Do what you want. Do what makes you happy. I have never found that in the Bible. It's a great feeling. It's a great thought that I'm always going to do that what's ever going to make me happy. That's what this life's about. Let's be happy. Find it in the Bible where it says that God wants me to be to make everything so that I'm happy. Sometimes following God isn't happy. Sometimes following God is hard. Sometimes following God takes work. Sometimes following God takes sacrifice. We talked about this morning, the rewards that we have. Beyond, if you want to say even greater than heaven, not greater than heaven, but extra to the heaven that we're going to have one day after a while. There is no peace. There is no rest in this world like being in the middle center of God's will. Whether the troubling times that it may be, as hard as it might be, as difficult and as sad as it may be around you, if you are in the center of God's will, you will find peace. In times that seems like you're being harsh and hard and giving things that are contrary to the belief of people, if you're doing what God wants you to do, you will find a peace. God will not lead you astray. He has promised that. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. When I was saved, I talked about earlier, I did just that. I submitted myself before God. And guess what? Immediately, as soon as I did, and he saved my soul, the devil came in. The devil wanted to steal my joy. He couldn't take my salvation away. He doesn't have that power. At the moment I was saved, I was God's child, and I couldn't do anything to lose it. There's nothing the devil could do to change it. God had done it a perfect way that I was there. But the devil could try to steal my joy. He didn't want me to tell that I was saved. I went for a few years that I thought I could not. I didn't know if I was saved or lost. I was confused and didn't know what to do. That's the best place to go. The devil can put you. Because if you're confused, you don't know how to pray for whether to be saved or whether I'm lost. Or you don't know what you're doing. It's even the devil has put you in a place that you cannot serve God. You don't even know if you're praying for salvation, if you've been saved. That's not God. God will tell you plainly, nope, you're not saved. I think God, he did me. He said, no, boy, you're not. I can just feel it. I didn't have a peace. I felt an emptiness still. But when I was saved, the devil said, nope, that's not it. I didn't know what to expect when I was saved. Everybody told me, you'll know. Well, what do you mean, I don't know? I just didn't understand. I'd never been through it. I couldn't explain. Nobody could explain to me how I would know when I was saved, because I had prayed so many times and cried my eyes out on many different altars. And I just didn't know how to know. And I'm going to tell you, now that I know that I've been saved, I can't tell you how to know that you're saved. I know I felt a peace. And I don't know if I wanted it to be more, or I wanted to be sure, whichever it was that I went through, the devil got in there and confused me and said, that's not it. And I went home, and I'm just thankful to God that he cleared it up real fast. I know people that go years that have been saved weren't able to work for God because the devil had confused them in ways that they didn't know they were saved. God has the answers for everything. I know we don't have too many here that are looking forward in life, that are looking to go into marriage and children and things like that. God has to be in every decision that we make like that. And for those that aren't necessarily going through that part of life, our decisions are still there. We have to make decisions on what we are going to do with our lives, how we are going to serve God on a daily basis. We need God in those decisions. Our leaders of our country and our townships and our states and everything that we have leaders that are over us that that lead us through with taxes and all those things that I don't really know a lot about and don't want to know about for the most part. We need them to know God. We need God to help them. Our leaders need God. And it doesn't matter if you liked the leader, if you voted for the leader, if you didn't vote for the leader. We should pray that God will lead them.
Amen.
Our nation has got away from being able to disagree peacefully. If you disagree with me, they want to turn to violence immediately. What little I do watch on TV or see, that's all I seem to see is violence. You don't agree with me? The first thing they go to is violence. There's not much that I would go to that extent for. If you want to disagree with me, that's fine. we don't agree. In most things, it doesn't really matter. It may affect my how much money I have or the way I get taxed or what I believe and this and that, but except for when it comes to the salvation of the soul, we can disagree all you want and be okay. And be able to look at each other and say, I love you. As a person, as a human being that God loves, I love you. I don't agree with you, but I love you. We don't know how to do that. The world is really struggling with that. We need to pray for that. We see violence all around the world. I used to think and look at the nation and think, well, it's just happening here and this type of thing, so maybe it's not that big as big a deal because, you know, it's just here. Well, the violence is spreading more and more. I see it everywhere around the world. That's the devil. That's sin. That's not following God. That's being so far away from God you can't even have a clue what God's right way is, what God wants. But if we go back and don't give the devil any place in our life, if we would strive for that in our families and in our jobs and in our private dealings, don't think that just because you're alone that God's not there. Don't think just because you're alone that nobody sees. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to use of edifying. I've seen these type of incidents happen in the workplace, especially that, you know, two people will be talking. Somebody that you know and that you can say maybe not the best things to, or maybe say things that aren't just quite the most PC way to say them, and somebody else overhears it. And then HR's calling. And wanting to know why you said this or that, and it meant nothing by it, but somebody else overhears things that are said. Well, as we talk and we go about our communication between each other, and where we may both know God and we may not have always say the most proper things. If you was to me and my brother, the way that we talk is not quite like how I talk to other people. Sometimes it's not on color, if you want to call it that. It might be off of what most people would say is what God wants to say me to say. And we've both been working on that, by the way. We're working on it. But if somebody was to come up that was lost and didn't know God and see two people that say one is a pastor and one is a deacon, and we see them talking like that, it's not good for God, for edifying God's nature. And it may not, you may not even know it, but people are listening. They want to find the flaws in your character. They want to be able to take, this guy says he's a Christian, but look what he does. What a fraud. What a hypocrite. I hear that always here. A lot of people say that, a bunch of hypocrites. We are. Yeah. For the most part, most of the churches around that I know is full of hypocrites. I'm not saying that they're not saved individuals. I'm not saying that they don't love the Lord. But at times we are very hypocritical. Especially somebody that's lost and doesn't know God and don't understand. It sounds hypocritical sometimes. When I can mess up things, and it's almost by accident, you know, I don't mean anything by it. I don't mean to be going against God. If I'm not putting God first, if I would think before, and I kind of mentioned between me and my brother, as families often do, I need to, before I talk to him, think like, I'm passing this through God before I go to be before my brother. All my communication, all my things that I send or on whatever text or talking to them verbally, if I think that each one of those things has to go to God before it gets to Him, what would God think about it? How terrified would you be if you thought everything that you were saying to anybody that you may know or love went through God first? And then it gets even deeper. What if every one of your thoughts went through God first? They do. I'm not going to say that it's not a real thing. Every thought that you have goes through God and then back to you. What does God think about every thought? I say we're hypocritical. We tell people how bad this and that. They're not doing this right. They're not being a good person. I'm going to tell you, a lot of times we're not great people either. We lean towards sin as this human body. We need God to prop us up. Amen. And every day, every prayer, I need to ask God to keep helping me. I'm imperfect. I don't like it. I don't like sinning against God. I do it. So I need to start looking at God and say, just help me again. Please, please just help me one more time. I'm sorry again. I go repent to you again. I'm sorry. I don't want to do those things that I do. Would you help me? Prop me up. Ephesians 6 and 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Not just part of your armor, all of it. It's a battle. We can't leave anything open, nothing vulnerable. We need God in every piece. Proverbs 4, ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. This is not something that's just started happening in these days. This is not something new. We Christian people and people in general have been bad for a long time. At one point, just if you go in the book, just a few chapters after it starts, God's already destroying the world by water. It didn't take long. And then he rebuilt it. We talk about that he a few times he's had to rebuild. Maybe not a total destruction, but we looked at it in Sunday school going into Canaan, how a lot of them didn't make it in because they didn't follow God. They didn't do what he wanted. I'm going to tell you, if you're here and lost today, if you don't do what God has commanded you, you won't make it in. Not into heaven. We won't make it into that full rest. But we need to get our foot out of evil. Get our hands out of evil. Get our minds out of evil. Get our tongues out of evil. And when there's so much around you, when you're immersed in it, it's so easy. There are things that we see and do, and I think my wife can vouch for me a little bit. I'm trying to get better. I want to be a better Christian. And it's funny, the things that I'm starting to change and try to be better at, to be a better Christian, now I see it in other people and I'm like, I don't like it. And then I go back and think, that was me not long ago. As a saved individual that was a minister of the gospel, and that was the me, I didn't like it. It was me. What do those people think? This guy's saved, he's a preacher, and he's doing this? What kind of example was that for the world? And they look and we tell them, you know, you need to come to church and be saved. He's doing that? What a hypocrite. On a daily basis, let's ask God to prop us up. All of our faults that we have, we're going to keep having them. We can try to get rid of them. We can try to leave them aside. We can try to be better. We're going to fail at times. But don't forget, every time we need God. No matter what we're going to move forward with, no matter what fight we have, no matter how much free will I have, if I want to move towards God, I need God to strengthen me. I can do all things through God who strengthens me. All things through Christ who strengthens me. Without Christ, I have nothing. I have no defense. I have no power. I have no backup. And as a human, as a person standing here, I lose to the devil every day. With God behind me, I win. And we've seen that go through battles where the people of God were outnumbered, were surely to fail. With God behind them, with unbelievable numbers, they still win. That's not by accident. That's not just there for a good story to read. It's inspiration for me today. That I have faith in my God. That with Him behind me, as I go through the hard times, I can make it through. With Him propping me up. That's my message this morning. Find you some beams. Find those hard times in your life. Find those weak points in your life. We've got weaknesses. We have different ones. And whatever it is, let God be there to help you. Amen. Lean on Him, and He will help you. Anything on anybody's heart this morning?
God's dad.